We're glad you're here. Mary Ann, we could have a whole just award ceremony for people like you, but sure nice to give you a hug and a plaque and a flower. And Kyle, thank you for your work with preschoolers. Worship team, thank you for your leadership. We're going to look at a passage in James. We're looking at James. James chapter 2. Let's look at two verses. The first one says, if you really, it's really interesting that he put the word really. Why did he put the word really? Because probably the law that I'm going to read, most people knew from their ancestors way back to the book of Leviticus. It's a long time back. So if you really keep the royal law found in the scriptures, love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing right. Look at that. You are doing right if you do this. Okay, if you really keep it. Let's talk about the why. Verse 12. He says, speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law. What law? The royal law. The law of love your neighbor as yourself. If you speak, Maywood Baptist Church, Josh, Jake, Bob, if you speak and you act by that, put me back, thank you, Corin, by that law, it gives you what? It gives you freedom. All right? I have been a friend, and you all have, he's spoken in our church several years ago. It was on a Sunday night. Bill Beachy is a friend of mine, and I've referenced him because he's so impressive to me. Bill's an Episcopal minister. He's 90, maybe 92, maybe 93 now. He's a chaplain emeritus of St. Luke's Hospital, the one downtown in the plaza area. Bill wasn't always a chaplain. Bill started off his career as a medical doctor. During World War II, he was so impacted by the ability to pray for the sick that Bill gave up practicing medicine and he learned how to pray for the sick, went to seminary. I remember a few years ago now, because I haven't seen him in a couple of years, but a few years ago I looked at him. At that time he was 90 years old. He had all of his teeth, he had all of his hair, which is something I can't say. He's still strong, plays a trombone, Kevin. Just full of energy and life and freedom and joy and on and on and on you go. He has traveled the world doing what in the Episcopal Church is called healing missions, where they go and they pray for the sick and people get healed right then and there on the spot. But he embodies this, what we've just read, and that is he is completely free. He is full of life, he is full of exuberance, and he's now 92 years young, full of health, because he has lived the way God tells him to live. And part of how God told him to live was, love people like you love yourself. I wanted to share that with you to kind of capture your mind, that we would really, really follow the law of love, loving one another. And I'm going to hand it over here to Josh. And Josh, you got another story, and that's how God set you free and what he did in your life. So tell us about your freedom as you have learned to love people the way God loves people.
As you remember,
red mic.
The red one. Hey, bingo, ding, ding, ding. We got a winner. Hey, okay, last week we talked about the same law that gives freedom, and we talked about loving God. And there's a certain way that you'd be living if you loved God. Okay, well, today we turn the corner, and it's the same law that gives freedom, but it's talking about loving one another. And when I read about a law giving freedom, aside from the freedom of addiction, which we all know about, there's a lot of us in here that have went through that. Jesus, he does set you free from that for sure. But in my life, there was a bigger problem. And it was this ball of fire that was right here. And it burned about 1,000,000 degrees Fahrenheit. And it controlled my actions and it controlled my life. As I started walking with Jesus, I remember a day where it was gone. It didn't happen overnight, but it happened gradually. And it was like Jesus did this, psst, and he put it out. And what happens is, as you walk with Jesus, He starts to heal the areas in your life that are directing you into self-destruction. You got that right. And that's how it went. That's how it went down with me.
That's good. Thank you. Why don't you guys take a turn, each of you, however you want to, and talk about, you don't just fall into this stuff. God doesn't wave a little magic wand over you and say, poof, it's all gone. There's some things that you all have done along the way, and so maybe, Jake, you can start about what you do, and Josh, why don't you talk about what you do, all right?
Yeah, I think, you know, this all connects back to your connection with Jesus. So when we're following this law that gives freedom, how do we find out about that law? How do we get connected with it? We find out through spending time with God, whether it's reading the Bible, praying, things like that. But when we connect with God, when we hear God wants me to do this, or I feel like there's a tug on me to do something good for somebody else, then we have to decide, what are we going to do with that tug? And a lot of times God will take us or push us in a direction that we don't want to go, or that's not easy or not comfortable for us. The way that we gain all this freedom is we let go of the hatred or selfishness or these other things inside of us that are going to hold us back and hold us down. And so the way that actually functions is, you may not have some gigantic moment happen to you tomorrow, but you will have a chance to take a step, either in a direction closer to God and loving somebody else, or a step ignoring that. For instance, I was just talking to Evan Wright earlier this week, and he woke up, I think on Tuesday or Wednesday, and he felt this urge that, like, he should do something kind for his family, like he should make them breakfast or something like that. It was early in the morning, and he thought, I really don't want to get up and make all that effort to do all of that. But then he was reading in his Bible, and the same exact idea came up again about spending the time to love somebody else. So Evan thought, well, this is twice now, here in just a little bit of time. And so he went down and did something good for the rest of his family. And it can be a simple little step like that, but it's about, are you spending any time with God, and then are you open to letting God push you to do something different? Josh, what do you want to add to that?
I think that's perfect, Jake. Is the very things that promised me happiness were the things that left me in bondage. Does that make sense to anybody? And the very things that I thought would keep me constrained and give me the bondage when I did those things, they're the things that gave me the freedom.
I want to just add, and then we're going to move to another section. I'm having trouble holding anything today. Here's an observation about us, Maywood Baptist. May it's an observation about me. It is to be able to say all the right answers and to still live the wrong way. All right? We cannot just say, read your Bible and pray and not do it. Okay, we can't say yes to God and say, boy, that's good. You hear it every week. I mean, I'm sure you all know we start on this, oh, here it comes again. Okay, I had a friend of mine who said, when my child touches the stove, I tell him to stop touching the stove until he stops touching the stove. And the same thing about us preaching, we'll keep preaching until we start doing. Okay, everybody fair? So here's the deal. There is an enormous freedom that comes from loving other people. But we're not going to love people on our own. We'll only love people and love God because we're connected to God. All right? Amen? All right. So with that, we're going to move. That's the positive. We normally start with the negative, go to the positive, start with the positive, go to the negative. There's a negative side of this. If we don't do it, there's some problems with us. And Jake's going to fire away on that.
Yeah, if we turn to the beginning of the chapter in James chapter 2, verse 1, he hits us on something that basically all of us will struggle with. He says, my brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here's a good seat for you, but say to the poor man, you stand there or sit on the floor by my feet, have you not discriminated amongst yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? So this idea of any time, whether we judge somebody by the clothes that they're wearing or the past that they've had or whatever other things we might judge somebody on, as soon as we take that step and saying, this person is worth my respect and my time and being open to, and that other person is not worth very much, as soon as we do that, we've become judges with evil thoughts. There's evil inside of us, whether we're showing it on the outside or not, whether it's quite as overt as this is, whether we're as much of a jerk as they're being right here on the outside. As soon as we step into that range of saying, this person doesn't matter, or I don't need to pay attention to that person, then this is saying we're a judge with evil thoughts. Bob, do you want to kind of break down how that can look?
Yeah, I do. I can talk about myself and probably some other people also. Here's the contrast. I can be free in my heart because I'm full of love, and I can be like my friend Bill Beachy or like my friend Josh Muck is becoming. We're not all, nobody's there. Bill is closer to it than any of us, but he's had longer to do it. But don't you all know how it is? You've been at church, and there's somebody that got under your skin, and then you go to lunch, and you got to vent that out to somebody, and so you sit down and say, you know how that goes? Am I the only one that ever does that? See, I talk about you all. You all probably talk about me, too. And sometimes it's really good, and sometimes it's not so good. And, of course, what am I? I think I'm right. But the truth is, what I am? I am a judge with an evil thought. My thoughts aren't good. They're not right. I don't know your heart. I've never known your heart. All I know are the outward actions. But I suppose I know your heart. Can I stop talking in metal for a moment? We have to be super careful how we work with social media in this regard, all right? When we're that anonymous person putting stuff out there, maybe we're not anonymous, we're just not face-to-face with people. And so it's really important for us to not go to the negative and be these judges with evil hearts. It is really important for us to be people who are free because we have learned from Jesus Christ how to love each other. Everybody good with that?
Yeah.
All right, so That's my sin. I will tell you, let me just tell you, there have been times this is awfully personal and very revealing. I was sitting right here, and we were conducting a funeral service. And there was a minister who was standing over there because I wasn't involved, and he doesn't come here, and you all don't know him, so I can tell a little of this, all right? And I'm thinking, boy, I don't like this guy. Boy, I don't like this guy. Man, he's too long. I've done another service with him. It lasted a whole day, and I thought I was going to die, all right? And I wasn't the deceased. And I was sitting over here, and I mean, I was just freaking out in my head. My outward opinions was all right, and God whispered in my ear, oh, you remember the Pharisee who came to church and said, God, I thank thee that I'm not like other men? Who are you? Okay? So, Josh, it's your turn. Confession time.
Wow.
Fires on, yeah. Confession
man, I'm glad
time,
I'm not like him. And so many times we set up in here and we tell all the people that when the knuckleheads come in, you guys, make sure you don't judge them. And they're right. Now I'll talk to the knuckleheads. Okay? Yeah. I'm talking to you now. We are also the same guilty. I know sometimes we read that and we want to go, they're talking to you guys, you church people, but they're not. But they're not. Because we do the same thing when we go, how could that dude ever understand me? He ain't never been through nothing. He was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. He don't understand me. And all the, therefore, you've judged. You've judged. And on top of that, you've become foolish. I've been hanging out with this dude named Dan Fuller for a couple years now. And he doesn't say a whole lot of stuff, and he's probably working security now because that's really all he really does is serve this church. And when I've got to know this guy, I found out that number one, he does understand how I feel. Number two, he has been through that too. And all this stuff that I could have missed out on if I would have said, he don't understand who I am. So, as knuckleheads, guys, it works both ways. We need to not judge, and we need to accept the leadership that's been given to us and look at them and not judge them also. Okay? Y'all cool with that?
Yeah.
All right, then. Let it be known, then.
So today we have these wonderful ideas of loving other people, of taking action for the sake of somebody else, treating them like we treat ourselves. We also have this idea of being really open to learning, receiving from other people, respecting other people, no matter what they look like, no matter what we think they are, respecting them enough to not judge them, and to open up to them. Awesome, awesome ideas, but it's really hard for the rubber to hit the road on these things. We talk about these sorts of things a lot here at Maywood, and how do we go out and be different here in Western Independence or wherever you're coming from today? Well, one strategy is I'm just going to try really hard. I'm going to try to remember what these three guys said. I'm just going to try to really do good this week. Well, as the three of us were talking earlier this week about this idea and about how do we really bring it home for people, a story came to my mind from when I was a little kid, like just 3 or 4 years old. And when I was a little kid, my speech was terrible. Like I was way delayed compared to other kids my age. Couldn't talk very well. It was hard to understand. And so it was bad enough that like my parents were worried that like I had some sort of like mental handicap or something like that. And other people were worried too. So yeah. So yeah, you guys, they're trying not to be judges with evil thoughts up here. So they're being gracious with me. But so my parents took me to this place. I don't really remember where it was, but to get like some tests run to try to figure out like what was going on and what preschool I should go to, I think is what specifically they were trying to figure out. So before we went, they sat me down and gave me this talk about I needed to be on like my absolute like best behavior, like be totally quiet the whole time, like sit still, like do exactly what they say, be real respectful. And so they really talked me through that, and I got really psyched up for it. I went in there, I was super quiet the whole time, sat still, did what they wanted me to do. And when we got in the car to leave, my parents were talking about, wow, Jake, you did such a great job, and da-da-da-da-da. And then one of them asked me, why aren't you like that all the time? And as a little kid, I said, I only have so much good in me. Which, very accurate statement. I mean, I meant it at the time, this idea of, like, I can't act like that all the time. Like, I brought the A game to that thing, Like, I'm all used up for the rest of the day. But the problem is that we're all like that. We all could say that. We only have so much good in us. You might be able to go out of here and be loving to somebody that doesn't rub you the right way for an hour or two. But try even just going this next week and stepping outside of yourself and respecting somebody that you don't naturally respect. Or getting up early to make breakfast or whatever little thing it is that's somehow loving for somebody else. You only have so much good in you. You might be able to do one or two things this week, but you're not going to live this life of freedom. You're going to feel exhausted at the end of it. So the way we get connected here, Heather read us this awesome passage in John 15 while we were worshiping about how Jesus calls us his friend. And he has that same theme that we read today. He says, if you're my friend, you're going to do what I command. And my command's simple. It's to love other people. That's how he boils it down for us. But then he says, and here's the key to it, though. Here's how you don't dry up inside and wear out. He says, you've got to remain in me. You've got to stay connected to me. Evan, who I talked about earlier, if he hadn't opened up his Bible, he would have never done anything for the rest of his family. If you this week, if you don't open up your Bible, if you don't pray, you're not going to make it even to Wednesday, much less to next Sunday, loving other people. If you're the type of person who if you're saying, I read the Bible every day, I'm good to go, I don't really need to apply anything. If you read the Bible every day last week, were there 7 things that you did that God laid on your heart to do? I challenged myself one time to read through one of the Gospels and to read the same chapter every day until I did something about that chapter. I got stuck on some. I'd be like, well, I've been on this one for a week and a half, and it's kind of pitiful. You look at yourself and you think, I haven't done anything significant. I haven't applied this in any way for 10 days. But you get bored reading the same chapter, but you start to see, I need to change. I need to do something different. So if you're already reading the Bible every day, maybe do something like that. Keep track of, am I actually doing anything about this? Am I actually changing? So today we're going to have this time of response. You get a chance to come forward and to pray with us or to pray where you're at, to worship. But the response has to be, Jesus, I want to connect with you so I can have the freedom to love other people. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for Maywood. And Jesus, I thank you that you care about us enough to call us friend. I pray for each one of us this week that we would stay connected to you so that we can love others, so we aren't judges with evil thoughts. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.